Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And looking in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiprah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. If it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Lord, thank you for we, your church, and thank you for us as a nation as well. Help us, Lord, as the church and as a nation, to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, I just want to take a moment to praise you. You are the God who provides. You are the God who sees. You are the great giver. And Heavenly Father, you know everything we need before we even know it. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for making man in your image, for making man to be like you. We're supposed to be walking in your likeness, Heavenly Father. And Heavenly Father, you provide so much, you give so much, and you love so well. So Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would lead us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake, that we could walk more in your ways to proclaim more of who you are to the world. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. One of the Ten Commandments tells us, you shall not murder, and how important it is that we as believers understand that God's word is eternal. It has eternal wisdom, eternal insight, and eternal help in it as we hear it and obey it. Sadly, we live in a nation that still allows the murder of innocent children in the womb. Yet sadly, this issue is not in the news as much, and so sometimes people are not as concerned about an issue when it's not heavily in the news. We would challenge every single listener, pray about the possibility of whether or not the Lord would have you start a pro-life prayer group or committee within your church family that will help to pray about this issue and to do things that can help to address this issue. Because the fact is, until abortion is no longer legal in our nation, every one of us needs to be concerned. As we often do, I want to share an article. That's a discipleship tool we want to encourage you to email us to get a copy of, but also to really think, help you to think on why this issue is important to the heart of God. The title of the article from the AFA stand that we wrote is entitled, What is a safe abortion? Again, the title, What is a Safe Abortion? To get a copy, email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, what is a safe abortion? Exodus 20:13, you shall not murder. In Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice. Again, Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. Recently, I was reading an article that was written in support of the issue of abortion, and it used the term safe abortion. Safe abortion? What does that phrase mean? Or maybe a better question is, what is it meant to convey when spoken? Let's define the two words of this phrase. A definition of safe is protected from or not exposed to danger or risk, not likely to be harmed or lost. Another definition of safe is free from harm or risk, unhurt, or secure from threat of danger, harm, or loss. Then the second word is abortion. What is its definition? Abortion means the deliberate taking of the life of a baby in her mother's womb. Another definition of abortion is the murdering of a baby before he or she is born. So the phrase safe abortion appears to speak of a safe method of killing a human baby. What? What could such a phrase possibly mean? Sadly, it's a phrase meant to deceive and mislead many. There is no safe method of taking the life of a human being. Likewise, there's no way to murder a human being without harming him or her. A related point is there's no right way to do wrong. There's no such thing as a safe abortion. One of the many reasons for this is the reality that when abortion is carried out, 100% of the time, a human being dies. And sadly, in some cases, more than the baby dies. We live in a world full of deceptive words, phrases, and concepts that are conveyed through many forms of media every day. Reproductive health care, what is that? Abortion, as harsh as it may sound, is actually first-degree murder. It's the planned murder of an innocent human being. When the word abortion is changed to phrases such as reproductive health or a woman's right to choose or a human right, none of these words change the reality of what's being carried out. And when did people start to classify murder as a form of health care? Abortion still murders an innocent child. These terms simply sound nicer or more pleasant. They don't sound quite so harsh when someone says them. Yet sadly, the result is the same. An innocent life is snuffed out. How important it is that we, the church, seek to speak the truth in love boldly. Abortion is wrong, and it always will be. Again, there's no right way to do wrong. In the midst of all these truths, we are not to despair. Be mindful that we serve a merciful Heavenly Father. His word tells us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess and repent of our sin, Christ will forgive us and set us free. Christ is ready to forgive, heal, and restore all who come to Him. In a world full of deception, lies, and darkness, may we, the church, always read and know the truth. And may we always faithfully seek in love to proclaim that truth to a world that clearly needs to hear it and be transformed by it. Again, the title of that article, What is a Safe Abortion? If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. We're very honored and blessed to have as our phone guest today, Caitlin Connors. She's the Regional Political Director for Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America. Caitlin, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Pastor. Thank you so much for the time. Thank you for starting us off in prayer. That was really beautiful and just helped set the tone for our conversation today.
All right. Well, we thank you for taking the time to be on with us. And I'm going to ask if you'll take a few moments to further introduce yourself and then tell our listeners, many of them have heard of the ministry and organization, Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America, but there's some who may be hearing it for the very first time. So if you'll take a few moments to further introduce yourself and introduce our listeners to Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America.
Absolutely. Well, as you said, my name is Caitlin, and I have been with Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America for going on 10 years now. It's really been my one and only career out of college, dedicating my work to the pro-life movement. And it's been an incredible blessing that the Lord's given me to see that that is my calling in life. You know, when I was younger and in high school, I went up to the March for Life on a few occasions and always knew that I was pro-life, but didn't have that conviction about me until really outside of college and learning more about this issue and really the true darkness of the abortion industry and how it seeks to prey on women and families, not to mention, of course, the millions of babies that we have lost in this country alone. And so my conviction really started outside of college when I was looking for what it is that I'm going to do with my life. And it kind of occurred to me that if we're not getting this right, if we're not getting the saving of unborn children and recognizing as a society that this is murder, then what else are we doing? If we can't get this right, nothing else is going to fall into place. So I can't really imagine being anywhere else. And I'm very blessed that the Lord has put me here and that SBA has had me on their team. I'm actually based in Birmingham, Alabama. That's where I'm from. I did live in D.C. for a while, and that's where our office is located. But a little more about Susan B. Anthony. The name sounds kind of funny, and the reason I always like to explain this because I think a lot of times, unfortunately, the abortion industry and the left has tried to co-opt the original suffragettes as liberal type of women who would have been pro-abortion and pro, quote, women's rights, to your point about the euphemisms that the abortion industry uses to cover up what the reality of abortion is. But the reality is that the original suffragettes knew that abortion was wrong and knew that it was not a savior for women as the abortion industry purports, that if only you could kill your unborn children, you won't be held back in your life, which, of course, is such a warped and horrific view of the world. But we named our organization Susan B. Anthony List or Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America, because we want the recognition that the original suffragettes, those women who were for women's rights, were also pro-life. And we want that to be well known, because women's rights are not pro-abortion. Women's rights are for the actual health of women, for the protection of the unborn, and that's why we have our name. And as an organization, we are certainly a political organization. That's the specific line of work that I do, working with candidates across the country, at the federal level, at the statewide level. To ensure as best we can that we have pro-life elected officials representing us either in the governor's mansions, either in the House of Representatives or the Senate, attorneys general across the country, everywhere that we're able to have pro-life leadership in political positions, we aim to do. And we're also a very policy-oriented organization. We work in Washington, D.C., primarily trying to promote pro-life policies, trying to save as many lives as we can, knowing that we have a lot of work to do to shift the culture, to get the rest of the country to be on board with the way you and I think.
Caitlin, I'm going to jump in right here. We're going to pick up right there on the other side of the break. Our phone guest today is Caitlin Connor. She's the regional political director for Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America. We'll be right back.
Bread of life sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter, but you are the living word. Faith now, come on.
Sent down from glory. on Houston, you can say it one time with us.
Bring, send down from glory.
Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were.
Awesome ruler,
awesome ruler,
gentle redeemer.
The music of Fred Hammond with You Are the Living Word. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Caitlin Connors. She's the Regional Political Director for Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America. And Caitlin, as we begin this segment, before you go back to what you were sharing before the break, would you pray for our listeners to have ears to hear all the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast, and that they'd respond as the Holy Spirit would have them to what they learn?
I sure will. Thank you, Pastor. Heavenly Father, please be with our listeners here today to hear these words, hear this conversation, talking about some issues and some topics that are really hard to hear, hard to embrace and understand the darkness that is out there when it comes to this issue of abortion and the taking of unborn life. We pray, Jesus, that you would give all of us ears to hear, minds to understand, and an ability to take action where we can in our lives, within our circles of influence. What can we do to promote life, to promote your word, to save your children, and to protect their mothers as well? Jesus, give us those ears to listen. Give us that mind to understand. We pray all of this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. So if you'll pick up where you left off before the break, please.
Absolutely. So SBA, or Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America, as I was mentioning, we are a political organization, and that is where I put a lot of my time. But we're also a policy organization, and so we're working in the halls of Washington, D.C. to try to promote pro-life policies. And one of those issues in particular, probably the preeminent issue for our day right now, is the issue of abortion drugs, or you'll also hear it referenced as chemical abortion. They're interchangeable. But what we're talking about when we say that is the use of medication or pills taken in a regimen to end the unborn child's life. And these abortion drugs are taking over, are unfortunately across the nation. We are seeing abortion rates go up, not down, even though we have pro-life laws in place in many states. And these abortion drugs are responsible for over half, upwards of 60, depending on the state, even near 70% of the abortions that are happening today in the United States.
Mm. All right. Well, specifically, on September 30th of this year, the FDA quietly approved something that has really caused kind of shockwaves in our nation as it relates to the abortion pill. Would you tell our listeners about that?
Absolutely. And I'd like to give a little background as well as to kind of how we got here and the timeline. So to start off, as I mentioned, abortion drugs or chemical abortion is the method in which a woman would take a two-pill regimen. There's two pills involved in terminating a pregnancy in a chemical fashion. There's mifepristone and misoprostol. Those names are hard to remember, but the point is the first pill that a woman takes, the purpose of that pill is to starve the baby, the unborn baby, in the womb, so where that baby will no longer receive the nutrients that they receive from mom in order to grow. So it starves the baby of that progesterone hormone that gives all that nutrition to the baby. Once that baby has been blocked of all nutrition and ability to grow, the second pill comes in. And when that second pill is taken, it essentially forces labor, a preterm early labor, to dispel the baby. Now, that's a horrific scene. And you can only imagine a woman receiving these pills and doing this at home by herself with hardly any medical guidance. And that's kind of the situation we find ourselves in today. So When these pills were first approved on the market back in 2000 under the Bill Clinton administration, there were plenty of regulations involved. Of course, we don't want to see these pills exist, but there were regulations in place for safety protocols. In particular, we have to make sure a woman is going in person to have a medical exam prior to being prescribed these pills. And there's an important reason for that. You need an ultrasound to know how far along in the pregnancy you are. This is a very common sense thing. This is what happens at every OB appointment. And knowing how far along you are in the pregnancy is incredibly important, because the longer you are in the pregnancy, the higher the complication factors go up for taking these abortion pills. And in fact, the FDA has previously said that past 10 or 11 weeks pregnancy, these pills are not approved. So we have this original approval of the drugs back in 2000. Under the Obama administration, they took some of these safety protocols away. Under the Trump administration, some of the safety protocols were put back into place in the I believe it was around 2017, 2018. And then when the Biden administration took over, in the name of COVID, they took away essentially all safety regulations on these abortion drugs. They said, if we all can remember back to the COVID years of nobody can go out in public and do anything, we have to, our medical appointments can only be telemedicine. And so the abortion industry saw that as a direct threat that, oh, well, if the pills have to be dispensed in person and people aren't going into doctor's offices during this pandemic time, then, well, we're going to have to make these abortion drugs available via telemedicine and be able to mail them to women. And so the Biden administration, of course, being completely compatible with the abortion industry, approved of that and took away all the safety protocols.
Well, so now, Caitlin, the position we're, let me ask you a question here. You know, one of the sad realities in the midst of the journey that you're kind of sharing with us that we're on, mm-hmm. is the fact that, again, we're talking about something that murders a baby. And again, sadly, you know, yes, once upon early on, there were regulations about it. But we have too many people that think it's OK to take the life of an innocent child. And God's word has been very clear. Never has changed. You shall not murder. And so we see all great spiritual warfare around this issue from beginning to end. And so one of the things I'd like to encourage all of our listeners to be mindful of is that all of us can pray for the Spirit of God to work on the hearts of those people that think it's okay, because, again, typically those people either need to be saved or they're highly deceived. Again, it's spiritual warfare. So our prayers can make a major difference. So, Caitlin, would you take a moment to pray for the church to really help to open, be God's tool, to open the eyes of people to see that this is a heart issue? It's a heart issue that needs to be addressed. Would you pray for that?
Yes, absolutely. Heavenly Father, we are in the midst of spiritual warfare, and we see it every day. We see it on social media. We see it in the news. We see story after story of those in this world who do not know you or who are not following you. And we pray, Jesus, that for all of us who are following you, for all of us who are trying to live in your word, that you would give us strength and resilience through this particularly hard time where we're seeing evil upon evil in our very own communities, where we see the need for you and your love and your mercy. And we pray for those who don't know you, that they will know you, that somebody, something will come into their life and they will see the truth of your love, your mercy, and your word, and how it is the ultimate key to salvation, to happiness, to the reason we are here. We are seeing this in real time, the murder of your unborn children. We know that we are in the midst of spiritual warfare, and we need the armor of your word.
Thank you.
We need the armor of your love and mercy. Jesus, please bring that to us and help us spread it to those who don't yet know you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Caitlin, just another question too. Would I be correct in that, like, when ladies are able to get the pills, they may take them at any point in their pregnancy from the first to the last month. Is that correct?
Yeah, so that is the reality of the situation that we're in. Without these safety protocols that the FDA desperately, at a minimum, needs to bring back. And I want to pause to say that you're absolutely right. These abortion drugs shouldn't exist. And certainly, we are no proponents of the abortion drug. But where we are right now, while they exist, what are we doing by allowing them to be mailed to anybody from maybe a doctor, maybe not even a licensed physician? Right now, Pastor, I could get online and I could order these pills. I live in a pro-life state where this is directly against the law to have pills like this mailed to me. But there are plenty of websites that exist. They don't even bother to hide what they're doing because they are protected by the fact that the regulations don't exist at the federal level. They're protected by the fact that we have states in this country, states like New York and California, who actively pass laws called shield laws to protect their doctors or clinics or whomever it is selling these pills and mailing them into pro-life states. They have legal protections in those states to do it. We're against an incredible battle, and we just said a prayer about spiritual warfare, Pastor, but I think it's worth reinforcing that we truly are in a battle, and in many ways this feels like a David and Goliath situation where we have this massive abortion industry who preys upon women, preys upon families, and of course has an ultimate goal of killing the unborn child. That's the goal of every abortion. Mm. And when we're faced with that, without Jesus, without God, there is no way for us to prevail. And that's true on any account. But when we look at the immense nature of the battle in front of us when it comes to abortion and specifically these abortion pills, we know that we have to call on Jesus at every moment. And you are correct that our prayer is so incredibly powerful. And I would encourage everybody to please pray without ceasing.
Mm. Well, and so would you share further why what the FDA did on September 30th is so egregious?
Yes.
In view of this battle?
So on September 30th, a generic version of these abortion drugs was approved by the FDA. And really, this is unconscionable. This is coming from the same FDA who said previously in a Senate hearing that they're going to be studying the dangers of this abortion drug, acknowledging that there are dangers, acknowledging that the Biden administration intentionally twisted data points to make these abortion drugs seem safer than they are, and then only a few weeks later approve a generic version of this pill. Now, that's really not anything that I can explain because it doesn't make any sense. It is the opposite of common sense to acknowledge that there are dangers with these pills, that women are being harmed, not to mention the unborn baby, but then let's go ahead and add another product to the market. Mm-hmm. So what we have to have immediately is at least some reinstatement of these risk protocols. If these risk protocols go back into place, the key thing among them requiring that in-person dispensing of the medication. And by the way, I mean, we are here as pro-lifers, but this is not even a pro-life matter. This is a matter of basic health care. Mm-hmm. No woman should be given medication without even knowing how far along in a pregnancy she is, without having any medical determination of whether her pregnancy is an ectopic pregnancy, meaning the baby is forming outside of the uterus. That happens And if you take these abortion drugs and that's your situation, your complication rate just shot through the roof. And this abortion industry, who has gotten away for years insisting they are for women's health, truly are only about more abortions and more profit. Mm-hmm. Because their goal is to shoot up the amount of abortions that we have in this country. They don't care about women's health. And if they did, they would make sure that these abortion drugs had at least some sort of safety guardrail. Not to mention, you know, and this is something else, Pastor, that I think we really need to pray about, because we have now witnessed an unleashing of a brand new form of domestic violence. Mm. Imagine a situation where a disgruntled ex-boyfriend or a husband seeking divorce.
Caitlin, I'm going to have to jump in one more time here for the break, and we'll pick up right there on the other side.
Absolutely.
Our phone guest is Caitlin Connors. She's the regional political director for Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America. We'll be right back. Music from Passion with God of This City. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Caitlin Connors. She's the regional political director for Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America. And Caitlin, would you tell our listeners, if someone wants to get in touch with you and or Pro-Life, Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America, tell them website and or contact information, please.
Absolutely, Pastor. So yes, you can see all of the information, specifics about what we've been talking about today on our website, and that is SBA, as in Susan B. Anthony, prolife.org. We have a lot of information there, and I think resources that your listeners would love to see. And then for contacting me personally, my email address is my name spelled out, so C. Connors, C-C-O-N-N-O-R-S, at sbaprolife.org. So please feel free to reach out to me with any questions or anything I can provide clarity on.
All right. Well, Caitlin, before we came into this from the last break, you were touching on one side of this tragic scenario that lots of people don't know about, that's very significant in terms of how people are using the abortion pill drug. Mm-hmm. Would you further expound on that?
Absolutely, Pastor. So, yes, one thing that we are seeing more and more of is this new form of domestic violence. And what I'd like for listeners to sort of imagine right now, which are based on real stories that have happened, and you can only imagine how this could continue, and the opportunities are endless. A disgruntled ex-boyfriend, a husband seeking divorce, a human trafficker who finds out that the girlfriend or wife or abuse victim in their life is pregnant, and they don't want them to be anymore. We have seen stories of men being able to order these pills online because, again, the quote-unquote prescriber is often nameless. They might be from out of this country entirely. We might be talking about somebody in China or India or anywhere. The Netherlands, that's another hot area for this activity, unfortunately. Or we could even be talking about domestic providers. The point is, we don't know. And the point is, they don't know who they're shipping these drugs to. This is something that we absolutely would not tolerate if we were talking about any other subject. If we were talking about opioids, if we're even talking about allergy medication, you're going to have to go show some identification, prove that you are the recipient of these medications, prove that you have a need for those medications. And yet, when it comes to abortion drugs, when it comes to the ending of unborn life, the most consequential drug that is on the market, we have no regulations in place. And we say, sure, you can ship them anywhere to whomever, stockpile them if you want. There was even a quote-unquote medical provider who suggested that you should go ahead and load up on these abortion drugs just so you have them in case you need them sometime. As if it were flu medication ahead of the winter. I mean, the disregard for human life is immense, and you can only imagine how nefarious people will get their hands on these drugs and use it to abuse women and to kill unborn children without them knowing, by slipping it into their drink. The possibilities are endless, and we are putting every single day that we don't at least try to rein in on the immense opportunity out there for abuse. Every single day we don't do anything about it, that the FDA doesn't do anything about it, is a day where a woman is in harm's way, and certainly these unborn babies are being killed.
You know, Caitlin, again, you're touching on so many issues that are critical issues in our society and in our culture that we need to be mindful of and also need to be addressing, obviously, in policy, but also just the fact that, as you mentioned, how tragic it is that sex traffickers are using this drug to abort with the women that they have enslaved in sex trafficking sometimes, and even sometimes, as you touched on, a husband and wife, and they just may be in a disagreement. She wants to keep the baby, and he doesn't, and he may, in a very wicked way, slip it into the drink. And the fact is, as you said, it's so irresponsible that it's so easy. Mm-hmm. Even high school girls can easily get the pills. Yet, what a tragedy it is that we live in a country that would allow that. So, again, addressing it politically and addressing it with policy, again, these are issues we need to be praying about and praying for God's grace and spirit to be working on the minds and the hearts of our legislators as well. So any further thoughts you want to share about that?
Well, Pastor, there is a whole lot to talk about, as you mentioned, and we need our legislators to insist that the FDA do their job in protecting women. We would demand this of any other kind of drug on the market, that it is safe, or at least that the warnings are adequately given to the patient. So we would, if we could right now, actually, Pastor, just say a prayer for our lawmakers who have many issues they have to deal with. Okay. But we pray, Heavenly Father, that our lawmakers would be bold in their leadership and in their fight for life, and they would stop at nothing to make sure your unborn children are protected and that women are protected and that common sense will prevail. We pray, Jesus, that you give them conviction and armor for this battle. And Pastor, if I could, there is a verse that I have posted at my desk, and it's a daily reminder for me, and I think maybe helpful for listeners as well. And you'll know it, of course, but this is Proverbs 24:12. If you say, but we knew nothing about this, Does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay everyone according to what they have done? Mm. This is my daily reminder that I know about the evils of abortion. I know what's happening in this country. I know how women are being abused. I know how babies are dying. And I don't have the option to sit on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of us has an ability to do something. Prayer is so important, and it fulfills all of us, and it keeps us going. Taking action, you mentioned at the top, you know, having prayer groups within our churches, having ministries specific to pro-life and the outreach of women in our communities who need help facing an unplanned pregnancy, down to the activation of our lawmakers and making sure they're doing everything they can and are being held accountable for their pro-life position. So I wanted to share that verse because it's my daily motivator, and I hope it can help motivate those in the audience as well.
Amen. Amen. Father, I do thank you, and I praise you for your sovereignty over us as a nation, and thank you for your sovereignty over our leaders and our governmental, those persons in leadership and government of our nation. Father, flood our government with your light, your grace, and your peace. And as Caitlin has prayed, Father, more and more help our leaders to stand up and boldly make decisions that honor you and address these issues in a way that glorifies, pleases, and honors you. Father, Lord, we see how that in so many ways, it's really demonic in the way we see people trying to deregulate issues that need to be actually need to be eliminated altogether, but definitely should be regulated. Yet we see the demonic activity that basically throws the doors wide open for people to be able to do what they want with this issue. Raise up more and more righteous leaders who will stand up and do what they need to do to help in these tragic kind of activities. And help us as the church to do our job to educate our church families about these issues and to help people to know what they need to do in knowing how to pray, but also how to talk to their children and the grandchildren about these issues and how to honor you in the way they see them and how they address them as well. But Lord, help us to never be ignorant and apathetic about these issues, to feel like, well, that's not my issue. Help us to know, Lord, that every baby to you is precious. We each have our part to do. Help us to be about the work of standing up boldly as bold witnesses for life, speaking the truth and acting on the truth in our culture and in our world. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Caitlin, again, thank you so much for being with us today. One more time, if someone wants to learn more about Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America, or to be in touch, or either in touch with you and or the organization, tell them again how they can do that.
Absolutely. Please visit our website. It's sbaprolife.org. You'll see all of our latest information there. There's some contact information for others in the office. But if you specifically want to reach out to me, my email address is cconnors@sbaprolife.org.
All right. Well, thank you so much again, Caitlin, for being with us. And as we alluded to as well, to every single listener, keep in mind there's always something you and I can do to help be involved. You know, one of the realities is there's a great need for churches to decide that in the right capacity they will come up with ways to educate their people about these issues. Like, for example, lots of people know little or nothing about what chemical abortion is. Lots of people don't know about abortion pill reversal and other related issues. So educating ourselves is very, very important. So Caitlin, thank you again for being with us, and please keep up the great work as you're serving the Lord with Susan B. Anthony, Pro-Life America, all right?
Thank you, Pastor. I really appreciate the time. Thank you for everything you're doing.
All right. And to every listener, please pray much for the work and the mission of Susan B. Anthony, Pro-Life America, and many other pro-life ministries out there that are on the front lines helping to address these issues. And also, finally, then, please find your local pregnancy clinic. Pray daily for that ministry. Prayerfully become a monthly supporter financially of that ministry, because they need your prayers. They need your support. And also consider volunteering, because typically, Too many pregnancy clinics are very poorly funded, yet are doing a great work. Let's get involved in whatever capacity the Lord would have you to be involved with the issue of standing for life. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, today is a good day. Today is a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step in your life, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us now and fully commit or recommit your heart to the Lord? If you would you simply pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrongs I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. If you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that'll help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch. Again, joseph@afr.net. We hope to hear from you. And if you'd like to get copies of the article that we shared earlier, What is a Safe Abortion? Same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get that to you as well. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.